Support for WPR comes from the Woodson Art Museum in Wausau, with the 50th annual Birds in Art exhibition. 112 new works from around the world through January 4th. LYWAM.org.
School property taxes are up across Wisconsin. A new study finds December saw the largest increase in decades. It's Wednesday, December 16th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, small business owners are facing skyrocketing premiums after Congress voted down a pair of health care bills. And Tuesday saw striking testimony in the trial of Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan. Stay with us.
Support for WPR comes from the state of Wisconsin, business sponsors, and tens of thousands of members who contribute. Thank you to everyone who makes WPR possible. On air, on the app, and at WPR.org.
If your property taxes seem higher this year, that's because they probably are. Corrine Hess reports K-12 school property taxes rose nearly 8% in December. That's the largest increase in three decades.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum points to three factors driving up schools' property tax levies: an increase in per-pupil aid limits, widespread voter approval of school referendums, and flat state support. School districts are funded by a mix of property taxes, state aid, and federal aid. So when the government isn't paying, property taxpayers are. Brad Courtwright's taxes on his Wauwatosa home are up about $2,400 this year.
To be honest, I'm more concerned about the tax increases that are coming than this one. We know in Wauwatosa that there are more referendums coming from both the schools and the city.
The Policy Forum predicts property tax bills will increase next year. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Governor Tony Evers has written a letter to President Donald Trump asking him to abandon a recent executive order about artificial intelligence. The Trump order would ban states from enacting their own regulations on AI. It argues that patchwork regulation hampers innovation. In his letter, Evers said this would undermine states' abilities to keep their own citizens safe. Sandra Bradley directs the Tech Exploration Lab at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She says states should have a seat at the table when it comes to regulating AI.
I am thinking a lot about who benefits and who gets left out, the way that the current federal executive order is structured, because the large tech companies are really the ones who are shaping what the rules are.
Trump's order also calls for federal funding to be suspended from states that do not comply with federal AI policy. Affordable Care Act tax credits expire at the end of the year unless Congress intervenes. As Steph Conquest Ware reports, it's left some Wisconsin small business owners and their employees scrambling to find health care as the final open enrollment deadline approaches.
Cara Pitt DeAndrea is the executive director of Renaissance Child Development Center in Milwaukee. Since September, she's spoken with dozens of fellow small business owners who say they are stressed about the ACA marketplace. One of Pitt DeAndrea's colleagues is a single mom running a business that supports daycares across the country. Her premium had jumped from $800 to $1,200 a month.
In order to, you know, be able to afford her life for her children and the business, she goes without health care.
Half of adults with ACA Marketplace own or work at a small business or are self-employed. Steph Conquest Ware, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Wisconsin tribe is suing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The Bad River Tribe of Lake Superior Chippewa filed the lawsuit this week to overturn a federal permit for Enbridge's plans to reroute its Line 5 oil and gas pipeline. Earth Justice attorney Gussie Lord represents the tribe. Lord claims the Corps violated federal environmental laws when it issued a permit this fall to Canadian energy firm Enbridge. Lord says the agency failed to adequately review environmental effects of the company's plans.
They didn't do that in a number of ways, including threat of oil spill, threat of impacts to on and off reservation exercise of treaty rights, and also the state's water quality certification has been challenged by the band, and that's not final.
Anchorage first proposed building a 41-mile stretch of Line 5 after the tribe sued in 2019 to shut down the pipeline on its lands. An Anchorage spokesperson said the company's permit is not yet final, but it plans to defend the Corps in the lawsuit. A fellow Milwaukee County judge expressed frustration with Judge Hannah Dugan during testimony in Dugan's criminal trial yesterday. Sarah Lear has the details.
Tuesday's testimony focused on what happened on the day immigration agents showed up to arrest a man who had been scheduled to appear in Dugan's courtroom. Dugan led the man through a side door and told him his hearing would be rescheduled. Now she faces obstruction-related charges. Dugan's colleague, Judge Cristela Cervera, told jurors she was confused when Dugan told her to help Dugan confront ICE agents that day. Dugan demanded a warrant and eventually directed the agents to the chief judge's office. Cervera showed the agents the way to that office. Cervera said she was surprised and felt, quote, abandoned, when Dugan returned to her courtroom instead of following with them. Cervera conceded that she did not express her concerns to Dugan on the day the incident happened. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, from Wisconsin Life, a special Christmas tradition at an Eau Claire school. Stay with us.
It's easy to connect with WPR through our website, WPR.org. Click on About WPR to give us your feedback, send in news tips, or contact our staff. Join one of our online communities through Facebook or subscribe to a program podcast. WPR.org. We're not just on your radio.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story for the holidays.
It can be a scramble to find that perfect holiday gift for a loved one. Luckily, the staff at a Western Wisconsin middle school have made it easy and affordable for students to buy gifts for their friends and family. Author and teacher Ken Szymanski tells us about this beloved tradition at his school.
Everything must go. The Holiday Store. Every December, Eau Claire DeLong Middle School's special education department holds a holiday sale in the teacher's lounge. This sale rivals Black Friday in hype, though not in quality. Staff members are encouraged to donate items they no longer want or need, and they eagerly load their minivans with boxes and bags full of odds and ends. Teachers sort the cast-off merchandise onto tables, and new items arrive daily. The pricing is simple. Everything is 25 cents. Money raised goes to the special education department, and kids can have fun picking out a cheap gift for friends and family. Ask people to clear the clutter and crap from their houses, and they will jump at the chance, though not always with discretion. Holiday store workers must exercise veto powers on what is or isn't middle school appropriate. No to the Miller High Life t-shirt, no to the boxer shorts, no to the flask and shot glass gift set, no to the Green Bay Packer bikini top, no to the jock strap, and the nut cup is a hard no. Even the appropriate merchandise is hit and miss. Does that puzzle have all its pieces? Will that coffee maker actually work? Does anyone really need another wicker basket? Each table becomes its own island of misfit toys, utensils, and appliances. But dig around, and you can find some gems, such as the ventriloquist doll, the air horn, or the minion fart gun. One year, a new student at the school checked out the sale to see what the ruckus was about. He stood to the side, watching the excited shoppers rummage through the merchandise. After his classmates made their purchases, he asked the teacher, "Is everything really a quarter?" "Yep, everything's a quarter," the teacher said. Is there a limit to how many things you can get? The boy asked. No limit. You can buy as many things as you want. The student bought nothing, but the gears were turning. The next day, the student showed up with a bag of quarters and a mission. The student carefully picked out items, counted coins, and checked people off his list. He eventually filled two trash bags and emptied his quarters onto the table. Then, like a plainclothes Santa, the student hauled his oversized bags out of the holiday store, down the hall, and eventually home. Unfortunately, Home was not exactly a Hallmark movie. His family faced struggles with unemployment and housing, and gifts were unlikely. Maybe he didn't pull off a Christmas miracle with his garbage bags of secondhand goods, but he brightened up what may have been an empty holiday. Some people have storage rooms, while others rent storage units. At times, the drop-off line at Goodwill stretches around the corner with those who've run out of room and need to cut the clutter from their lives. But not everyone is sitting on a surplus. Some stand with a Ziploc bag of quarters, happy and grateful to give.
Ken Szymanski is the Eau Claire writer in residence and a middle school English teacher. This essay, Everything Must Go, was originally published by Volume 1 in Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. A mix of sunshine and clouds today with high temperatures in the 20s and 30s. A little windy to start, but wind speeds should be calming down throughout the day. Those wind speeds will pick back up overnight with lows in the 20s and 30s. We could see a little bit of mixed precipitation overnight, a wintry mix in the north, and some rain in the south. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Bridget Bowden. As always, hope you have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.